For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. So glad to have Dr. Thomas Satterfield with us today. And Brother Satterfield served here as assistant pastor, youth pastor from 2000 to 2003. And God used him in a great way. Many of you were in his youth group back then. A number in his youth group are now pastoring and serving on foreign fields, and we thank God for that. But many are here serving faithfully in the church because of his ministry and what God did through him and his family. And it's a joy to have him back. He's since here, he served churches in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, now is the far north director of Macedonia World Baptist Missions. And God's using him in a great way. And Brother Thomas, good to have you back with us. Let's give him a good hand as he comes to preach.
Amen. I just realized I didn't do anything with this microphone, brother. I guess it's still on. Amen. Good. Very good. Good to see everybody today. Thank you so much for the privilege to be with you. And I've been looking forward to this time so much. And I wish there was a way to slow it down. I was saying in Sunday school, the only thing I don't like about traveling to churches is when it's time to say goodbye, and especially places like this. And I've been telling everybody I get to go back to Ripley. And I meet people all along the way, and we were joking about it in Sunday school. Everybody still always tries to relate to West Virginia. I know somebody, you know, they'll say, I know somebody that lives in D.C. or somebody lives in Richmond. Or I hear that all the time. I have family that lives in Richmond. And I think, well, that's not West Virginia. And you can't explain it to people sometimes. But anyway, I've been excited, been telling everybody to get to come back. And I am so grateful for the privilege. I do wish my whole family could be with me. And I know that I heard it in between Sunday school and church. Why didn't you bring Jennifer? Shame on you for not bringing Jennifer. And well, some things are just just can't help it. I'm sorry. I know you'd rather have her preaching here today than me. She'd do a better job than I would anyway. And maybe next time around she can preach, okay? And she would love to be here, and sends her love and our prayers. And you know what God has done in our lives together has been one of the most rewarding and unique things, I think, that I've ever known in the ministry and the work of God. We were here for a short time. It was not long enough. I was telling Brother Seth, I said, I'm glad the way the Lord worked and blessed and provided and what God did after we were here. I think about it often. I'd probably give anything to go back and stay a while longer. And who knows what would have taken place with all of that. But we trust the Lord about it. But I'm just grateful for how, you know, when you become family, it is a family. And your family, you may go years without seeing somebody in your family. You get back together and it's family. It's like they're really, and that's the way it is with us. And I'm so grateful for that. Every time we talk, we talk forever, and it's like we just talked yesterday, but we got a lot to catch up on and all that too. And so good to see so many familiar faces, and then so many new faces. I'm fired up about that. I thank God for what He's doing here, what He's doing through you, and your church. And you people, your ministry here has a great testimony around this country. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm thankful for what God has done. And I'm excited about what God is going to do. Hey. We do not just serve a God that took care of yesterday. And He's already in our tomorrow. Right. And He's waiting on us to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Not just in the past, but in the days ahead as well. And what God does in our hearts today on this very important day really will determine what we are allowing Him to do through our lives in the days ahead. You come to moments like this in each individual life and family and for this entire church. What you decide today and what you allow God to speak to you about today really will make a difference in the days ahead. It will determine a lot of things. It will determine God's touch. It'll determine God's favor. It'll determine God's blessings on you and on your family in the days to come. And my job is to help you see that through the Word of God, and I'm excited to be able to do it. Turn back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. It's where we were in the Sunday school time today, and I tried to lay a little groundwork, and I feel like in doing that, maybe we can really center in on one main important thing here today, and in this service, and then again tonight in the service, I want to encourage you to be back. You'll not want to miss that this evening, and boy, it'd be good to see the Lord's house filled again tonight. So you come back and bring somebody with you. And I meant to say this earlier, Pastor Rick, I'm sorry, I forgot about it. I need, if you can, if you still have them, if you still have something like this, I need an offering plate. I know they're outlawed and banned in most countries around the world. And I understand why, too. I was telling the preacher, it's so good to see hymnals. Yes, sir, can you bring that up here? And bring one of those faith promise cards that you handed out earlier, if you don't mind. I apologize about that. You'll give us just a moment to take care of business here, and I'll get to preaching, okay? And but it was so good to see. This is the first church we've been in that I've seen been able to bring back hymnals. And I love it. I love it. I want to kind of just cuddle up to it. You know, thank you so much, brother. Amen. I'll put this right here and get to that in just a moment, Lord willing. And this is clean, isn't it? If I touch it, it'll be all right, won't it? Okay. Very good. And thank God for the songs we sing and the privilege to worship, and good to see, man, what a great number in church today. Praise the Lord. You'll maybe never know how encouraging that is to me. And but it is encouraging to your pastor and to one another. You know, there is a ministry of presence. There really is. Just being here is a ministry. It speaks volumes about you, but it speaks volumes to other people and encouraging them. It lets everybody know I'm not the only crazy one. And you come back to church tonight and you look around. Well, man, there are other people that still believe to come back to church on Sunday night. And praise the Lord for it. And my family does send their love. Jennifer and I we're about 21 and a half years together in marriage. We dated several years. Most of you know that. If you could call it dating, you know, what my parents had rules for or didn't have rules for, Jennifer's parents did have rules for. I mean, we couldn't get around anything. But we dated. I guarantee you, your definition of dating is not what me and my wife did before we were married. 6 years we dated, and then, you know, I fell in love with her in the third grade. You know that. You remember that story? And her family came to my home church, and they were there for the first Sunday, and I saw her, and it was over. Third grade. I came in through the door. Mom was cooking lunch that Sunday afternoon, and I said, did you see Jennifer Jeffries? She said, yeah, I met her parents. I said, well, I'm marrying her one day. And she just kind of, she did what you all just did, turned around and just kept on cooking. And I reminded her of that the night before I got married. I said, you remember what I told you? You didn't believe me. And, it took a little prayer for Jennifer to finally get into God's will about that thing. But she came along. She got right with God. So now she spent 20 years trying to get me right with God after all that. How many husbands know that? Well, I should say, how many wives know that that's true about your husband? Amen. Absolutely. You know the whole marrying up thing? Look, it's just astronomical to think about how much I married up. And I would say that if she was here too. I really would, okay? And man, wives, I'm seeing husbands and wives start looking at each other. This isn't marriage Sunday, okay? We'll move on. This is mission Sunday. Mission Sunday. And but if God spoke to you, there will be an invitation given here in just a little while. You can get right with God about that. Amen. Don't hurt your children over it. It's not worth that. My goodness. Amen. Oh, we better reel it back in here, okay? And, you know, it's supposed to be more serious than this, the house of God. And church preachers looking at me like, you're the one doing this. Don't look at me. Amen. Thank you for taking good care of us. The prophet's chamber is beautiful, comfortable. We got in at about 1 o'clock. I I was preaching. I preached a youth meeting, North Georgia Youth Fellowship, yesterday in Calhoun, Georgia. And it got a little long, and I didn't preach long. It just got a little late getting up the road. Then I went by and picked up Danny at Crown. This is my son, Danny, and he's 19. He's at Crown College, and the Lord's called him to preach. We're so excited about the days ahead for him. I'm trying to slow it down with him, you know, but it's not working. The more I try to slow it down, the faster it gets. Y'all know that's true, don't you? And anyway, we finally got up the road. I picked him up about 7:45, and I turned the GPS on, and I saw the time, and I thought, oh, dear Lord, help us, please. When we got in that prophet's chamber, I'm telling you, didn't take long. Lights were out. And what a comfortable place. I don't know who found those cherry Danishes, but God bless you. God bless you. In fact, it's got all my favorites down there. The oatmeal bars, all of that stuff. There's milk in the fridge and everything. It's going to be hard to leave that place, but it was great, comfortable, and thank you so much. I'm so proud, if I could use that word, and so grateful for what God is doing here and what he continues to do. And let's trust the Lord today to help us. In fact, I want to go ahead and have prayer with you right now before we read the Word of God together. And I'll pick up where we left off from Sunday school this morning and give you a little bit more of background introduction and get right to the message today. Give plenty of time for the faith promise here in just a little while. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful to be here today. Thank you for this honor and privilege to stand in this pulpit. And Lord, you know that I do not take this lightly. I'm so grateful for the friendships that we have here, the new friends that we've already been able to make here. Lord, this is more than a friendship. It is a family, family in Christ. And I thank you so much for what you have done. All the glory belongs to Jesus for that. And Lord, we thank you for the lives that have been changed, for how our life has been changed because of this place, this ministry, because of the Perrines, and Lord, for how you've used them so greatly in our hearts and our lives. And I thank you for that. Thank you so much that we can come together on this Sunday. Thank you that we can be in church like this. And Lord, we have long taken the house of God for granted. And now here we are together. And Easter's coming in a couple of weeks, and we're so thankful for that. We'll get to be in the house of God together. May nothing prevent that from happening, Lord. We're excited about the upcoming revival, and we pray that you'll bless that meeting and send a real revival here to this place. And we're excited about these upcoming days. And so as the momentum builds, as we press toward the mark, I pray that you will help us, Lord, each one of us, to hear you today. May the Holy Spirit of God have liberty here today to work and to move. And may our answer be yes. Whatever you speak to us about, may our answer be yes. May we already decide that right now. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us live in this country. We've been so greatly blessed. We have a Bible in our hands and in our lap today. We thank you for that. You've sent somebody to us to tell us about Jesus, and we've been saved. And we have been so greatly blessed that most of the world does not know what we know. They do not know who we know. They do not have what we have. And there's nothing more special about us than there is about any of them. The only difference is a missionary came to us and told us about Jesus. I pray that you'll help us to go, help us to give, help us to send, help us to pray so that the whole world will hear the truth of who Jesus is and they may have the same opportunity that you've given us. We give you glory for that. Thank you now for what you're going to do in this moment, this time, and this message, and touch my mind and my heart and my mouth, and thank you for it. Thank you for working. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And as we do, remember that Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, a local, independent, Bible-believing church. I believe this was a Baptist church, absolutely. Yeah. And we're Baptist because we believe what they believe. We believe this right here. That's what makes us Baptist. And Paul is speaking to this church at Corinth, and he's telling the church at Corinth to look at some other churches. The churches specifically that he's talking about is the churches of Macedonia, their neighboring state. They were all in a bad shape. They had some pretty tough things happen to them, a famine or a disease or something that had taken place, and it had really crippled the economy. It crippled their lives. It changed everything for them. It was completely different than anything they'd ever seen or been in before. We can relate to that, can't we? And Paul said there's a right way and a wrong way to handle it. The church at Corinth had decided we're going to just put everything on hold for a while. We're not going to try to move forward. In fact, we're not even going to really continue doing what we've been doing. We're just going to put everything on hold, and we'll try to get through this the best we can. And when we come out to the other side, we'll get back to business then. Well, Paul said that's really not the right way to do it. If you want to know the right way to do it, if you want to know the way God wants you to do it, look at the churches at Macedonia. He refers to them in verse 1. The church of Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, there were some other churches there that Paul had been used of God to establish. And what those churches did in the middle of this crisis, instead of stopping everything or instead of putting everything on hold, they decided, we're not only going to keep going forward, we're going to do more than we have been doing before, even in the time of crisis. You say, how were they able to do that? Well, the Bible answers that question as well. It was all because of the grace of God. You know, by the grace of God, we are what we are. We are doing what we're doing. You're here by God's grace. And by God's grace, we will march forward as well in the midst of all the things we face. So let's look at verse number 1 again. This is the second time we've read this scripture. We'll read it a third time tonight as well. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Paul said, look at them and witness what God is doing there. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, their ability, their capability, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Notice that phrase, ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, we notice this in Sunday school, the first thing that comes in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Our focus today is really on one main verse for this entire context, but it's found in verse number 5, where Paul said of the churches of Macedonia, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The thought for the day is simply this: the moment missions matters. The moment it matters. Let me repeat what I said in the Sunday school hour. If the only person that missions really matters to, if the only person that this church matters to or this community matters to is Pastor Rick, if he's the only person that really gets it, that it really matters to him, then not only is that not the way God intended for it to be, it's not going to get done like God intended for it to be done either. Let me put it like this. Missions needs to matter to somebody besides your pastor. Now, it does matter to him, and it should matter to him, but not just only to him. And so the question today is, does it matter to me? Does this make any difference to me in my life? You look at these flags and you think about the billions of people that are represented just by these flags in the auditorium today. I love the way that it looks, but it's not just for good looks. It's to represent souls that Jesus died for. Do those people matter to you? Do the people of this community matter to you? Does this country matter? We can get in a big way politically, and probably we should at many times, but what about spiritually? Does it matter that this nation is on its way to a devil's hell faster than it's ever been? Does that matter to us? Does that matter? Does it matter to you? You know, a lot of people spend their entire Christian life in the house of God banking on that it matters to the other people that it's supposed to matter to. But they never really get a hold of it for themselves. They never get to the point where it really matters to them. And so with God's help, we're showing this today in three ways. We talked about the second way in Sunday school today, and that is the righteousness of missions. The righteousness of the work of God, the righteousness of the ministry, the righteousness of serving the Lord. It is right. It's right to do it. It's right to be part of God's work. It's right to be part of the service of the Lord. Missions is right. It's right. And the way you know you got it right is when you do it the Bible way. I call it the Macedonian order of giving. I mean, they had it right. Paul uses them as the example. They got it right. And when somebody gets something right, especially when it comes to the work of God, we should be smart enough to at least look at them and say, you know, they're getting it right. I probably ought to be doing what they're doing. I probably ought to follow their pattern. I ought to follow their example. They had it right when it came to the financial giving. They had the right order of it. They gave their tithe, just like the Bible says we should do. Then they gave an offering, a free will offering above that. We explained all this in Sunday school today. Then they gave their, what we refer to as their faith promise missions giving. The Bible explains it so clearly. And the Bible talks to us about when we should give it. The first day of the week, the Bible says that everybody should be giving it. And let every one of you, the Bible says that it's the house of God, it's the people, it's the church that decides who gets that money. And you've got 106 missionary projects that you're giving that money to. It's absolutely amazing. You know, when I pastored in Greensboro, we followed the pattern that you have here. We gave 10% of everything else that came in addition to faith promise giving, we gave 10% of that to missions. And I remember when we implemented that, that was some shock and awe, you know, to some people about that. But you know what? God blessed that. God blessed that faith. God blessed the faith of the church family to do that. I mean, I have people asking me, you mean, now I'm giving already to missions, and I know a lot of other people are, and we're giving to the church, and we're going to take above that? Absolutely we are. And let's trust God to bless it. I told one person once, I said, I tell you what, if God doesn't turn around and bless it, then you come back and talk to me and we'll see about doing something different. But you know, God got in that thing and started blessing. I mean, we got out of debt. We did a lot of things, started doing some things around the place that needed to be done. Didn't have to use one dime of that mission's money to get it done either. It was amazing what God did. Isn't it wonderful how when you just trust God and you get it the right order, do it the right way, not backing up. Listen, when COVID hit, that was the time it would have been the easiest to say, we're not going to do this for a while. I don't know if anybody ever said this to you, preacher, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did. Maybe somebody thought it. You know, we may not be that brave enough. Of course, we're probably all about out of our minds anyway after the way it's been the last year. We're just glad to be anywhere besides at home. Right. But somebody might have said, you know, are we ready for this? You're going to have what in March? You know, let's wait till Easter. Listen, at least wait till Easter. You're going to have a revival. What are we doing here? Are we sure not biting off more than we can chew? But no, we're not. We're not doing that. You know what we're doing? We're just trying to do it God's way, trusting Him to help us to move forward. And that's what makes it so different for the people of God. This world needs to see a difference in us. The darker the night, the brighter the light. We should be shining. We shouldn't be hiding it under a bushel. Boy, it'd be easy to, wouldn't it? It'd be easy just to keep tucked away and just to forget about it for a while. You know, a lot of churches are doing that. Yeah. But when it comes to doing it what God wants done and doing it the way God wants it to be done, you can't keep quiet. You can't keep sitting on your hands. I know these folks around here. I know a lot of you. You've been about to explode to get back at it, hadn't you? And isn't it so good to be back at it? Oh, I know you can't wait for that choir to get up here and sing. And I know you can't wait for Dr. Reynolds to come and have a revival meeting. I mean, to get it back like it ought to be. Why? Because that's God's way. And He has a way about that with our giving. And the first thing on the list that Paul said we should have before anything else happens is faith. That's why we call it faith promise giving. I trust the Lord. I have faith in Him to tell me what He wants me to do. And not only do I trust Him to tell me what He wants me to do, I trust Him to enable me to do what He's told me to do. The promise doesn't just come from me. I promise Him, Lord, if You'll tell me what to do, I'll do it. I promise. The promise also comes from Him. When He tells me, if you'll just trust me, I'll prove it to you. I'm glad the promise goes both ways. You know, there have been many times I've struggled to keep my end of it. But there's never been one time when He didn't keep His end of it. Faith, promise, missions, giving. It was mentioned in Sunday school earlier today. It's the only way the world's going to know. The order that God's given us in the Word of God is the only way this world's going to know who Jesus is. It's the only way they're going to be saved. It's the only way they're going to hear the truth about it. These 106 missionaries and projects that you support, that is something that is a lighthouse that is going around the world. But that's not only the only way the world's going to know. The reason that it's that way is because it's God's way. It's got to be done the way God says to do it. They had it right. It was the Bible way, the Macedonian order of giving. But there was one more element of that I'll give you in just a few moments. Let's go back to the first point. If you were in Sunday school, you have the outline already. Missions is right through the Macedonian order of giving. That's point number two. Let me go back and give you point number one. Missions is revealed, the revealing of missions. Missions is revealed by the merciful operation of God. The merciful operation of God. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His love. Thank God for His peace. Thank God for salvation. It's an operation of the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, it's verse 10, 11, and 12. Basically what the Bible says there is that we are saved by God's operation. It's the operation of God and coming up with the way for us to be saved. Now, when I speak of the merciful operation of God and that missions is revealed to us that way, I want you to consider something that we've already said today. If you're saved, then you know that you're going to heaven. You know that and you have that, not only because Jesus saved you, but because God sent a missionary to tell you how to know that. Your missionary might have been your parent, or it might have been your pastor. Your missionary might have been a friend or a neighbor or a coworker, but somebody told you about Jesus. And did you know the moment you got saved, guess what you became? You became a missionary too. Now, you may not be a very good one. I can think of times in my life when I was not a very good missionary. I'm not a missionary because of what I'm doing with Macedonia and trying to help the missionaries of the far north and all that. I'll say a little bit more about that tonight. But I'm not a missionary because of I'm doing that. I'm a missionary because I'm saved. I'm a missionary because I'm a soul winner. I'm a missionary because it's my responsibility to tell other people that what Jesus has done for me, He can and He will do for them. You say, I can never do that. Yeah, you could. All you got to do is tell them what Jesus has done for you. You know, before I met Jesus, my life was empty and hopeless, and everything I tried to get a joy in my life or to find satisfaction or strength in my life, it all failed. But then one day I met a man, his name is Jesus, and He saved me, forgave me of everything I'd ever done wrong. He changed my life. It's all different now. Now I have a reason for living. And they're sitting there thinking, you know what? I can identify to that. And all you did was tell them what Jesus did for you. So, how are we doing? I mean, give yourself a grade today. Does it matter to you that God has a merciful operation that's taking place in your life and the operation doesn't end with you? His plan keeps going, and from one person to the other, and we tell the good story of how the Lord Jesus has changed our lives. Amen? There are three things about the merciful operation of God. Number one, God undertakes missions. I could say it like this. God undertook missions. He did, didn't he? Yes. You see, missions is God's plan. Missions is God's provision. The Lord didn't just come up with a thing and said, okay, I want the whole world to be saved. Now you figure out who's going to pay for it. Who's going to get the job done? No, missions is not only his plan. Missions is his provision. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, missions is God's purpose. I do believe that verse. That's 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will for everybody in this world to be saved. If somebody dies and goes to a devil's hell, did you know that every time that happens, they do that out of the will of God? It is not God's will for anybody to go to hell. It is not God's will for anybody to die without knowing who Jesus is. It is God's will for everybody that's breathing the breath of life or ever has or ever will to know who Jesus is. You know, not everybody believes that. This Bible's been twisted around and the devil has sold a bill of goods that's just a lie straight from where he's from. And there's a lie out there that says that only some people are going to be able to go to heaven and other people are not going to be able to go to heaven. And there's nothing anybody can do to change it. God's already decided it. He predetermined it. But the truth of the matter is, the only thing about salvation that God predetermined is that everybody needed to be saved. And so he gave his son to die for the whole world. By the way, I've never met anybody that believed that junk that did not also believe that they were some of the ones that God already decided was going to get saved. And not only them, but their family too. Yeah. They all want to think they got in on it, but somebody else may not have. Did you know you can't witness to the wrong person? Everybody that you tell about Jesus and his love for them is a prime candidate for the gospel story. Yes, sir. You're not going to witness to somebody that doesn't need it. Even if they have been saved, they'll be glad to hear it again. You ever had that happen to you? You ever had somebody come up and witness to you and you're just smiling at them? I like to let them talk a little while. I mean, just go ahead and get it out. You know, might as well practice on me. I've already got what you're talking about, but let's have a good time. Now, let me say something to you too when you get done and let's just enjoy ourselves. Amen. It's wonderful. God undertakes missions. Yeah. But not only that, God understands missions. Good. He understands it. You say, well, how do we know that? How do we know God understands? Well, look at what Jesus did. Verse number 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For your sakes, I love that. He who is rich became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. Everything we get by being saved is something we do not deserve to have. But we have it because of what Jesus did. Jesus left his home, didn't he? Yes, he did. Jesus went to people that didn't know him and they hated him and despised him. He even came unto his own and his own received him not. They cried out, crucify him. Jesus knows. He left. He labored among them. He loved them. I love what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2. I believe it's around verse number 9. You know, that's the passage, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Right. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, good, even the death of the cross. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let me tell you something, my friend. You may be here today and you never have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You do not know that if you were to die today that you would go to heaven. You don't know that. You're looking at somebody that knows that. Amen. I mean, I don't want to die today, but I'm ready to die today. I've got a little bit more I want to try to do for the Lord before I go. But if I have to go, I'm ready to. I mean, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven when I die. But you may not know that. Did you know you don't have to spend one more day like that? You can be saved by the same grace of God through the same Savior that I got saved from and saved by. And you can have that same experience, and you can leave this building today knowing that you're going to heaven when you die. I met Michael earlier today. Michael said, I just got saved just a couple days ago on the 7th. I mean, he was happy about it. I could tell he was happy about it. I said, Michael, isn't it good? Isn't it good to know that everything's okay, that no matter what happens, you're going to heaven? He just smiled and he said, yeah, sure is. It's good. And how many of you can identify with that and say, man, it sure is good to know what's going to happen to me when I die? And by the way, I believe, now I'm not asking you to believe it. I believe if you study the Bible and look at the circumstances of this world, I think you'd agree with me. But whether you believe it or not, I believe that a lot of people in this building right here ain't ever going to die. I believe a lot of us are prime candidates to be that first generation of people, that generation of people in this world that never have to die. I'm listening for the trumpet. Amen. I'm looking forward to the trumpet sounding. I'm looking forward to the rapture. Amen? Amen. Wouldn't it be good to never have to die? I mean, we just get to go. Amen. Yeah. But I will not do that when that time comes because of what I've done for Jesus. I will do that because of what Jesus has done for me. Amen. Right. Absolutely. Amen. God undertakes missions. God understands missions. But let's not leave this one out either, okay? We're talking about the merciful operation of God. God underwrites missions. God underwrites missions. I've alluded to this earlier. But I know this happens. Miss Sandy, I know it happens. I know it happens. But anytime you try to do something around the house of God, somebody always wants to know. It's the same question. It's universal. It's like the word hallelujah. You know, hallelujah is the same in every language. This question's the same in every language everywhere around the world. I know it is. Here's what it is. Every time you try to do something around the house of God, here's the question. You know what it is, don't you? How are we going to pay for it? Amen, Miss Pat. Miss Pat said it over there. Absolutely. How are we going to pay for it? It's true, isn't it? Everybody wants to know. That's what they want to know. How are we going to pay for it? We're going to do some work around the church. Okay, how are we going to pay for it? We're going to take on another missionary. How are we going to pay for it? We're going to buy a new bus. How are we going to pay for it? How are we going to pay for it? We're going to work on the parking lot. How are we going to pay for it? How are we going to pay for it? We're going to have a meal. How are we going to pay for it? We're going to get Chick-fil-A for the teams. Who's going to pay for it? Everybody wants to know how we're going to pay for it. That's the question. That's just the way that it works, isn't it? And people that want to know how missions is paid for, God pays for it. Amen. And God pays for it through His people. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, you can find it in Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16. It's found in Luke and John as well, Acts chapter 1. I mean, the Great Commission is given there, that great commandment. Go ye into all the world, as the preacher prayed earlier, talked about it earlier. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Ye shall be witnesses. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm glad He has. Both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. That word both, by the way, means all at the same time. You're supposed to be witnessing here, but you're also supposed to be witnessing in Papua New Guinea and all those other countries the preacher mentioned. All at the same time. Not one at a time, all at the same time. How? And how is it paid for? God underwrites it. God pays His own bill. Yeah. When the Lord Jesus gave that great commission, He gave it to the church. And when He gave it, He knew to the penny how much it was going to cost. And He knew who He was going to use to pay for it too. You know, the Bible says of the Lord in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says that God owns all the silver and the gold in the world. That's amazing, isn't it? But the Bible says of that God, the same God that owns all the silver and gold is the God that loved this world so much, the people of the world, that He gave His only begotten Son to die for them. Now, what kind of God would it be to own everything and to love the world so much to give His Son and then turn around and tell those same people to figure out on their own how they're going to get the job done in telling the world about and not pay for the bill? When I was a little boy, not a little boy, when I was a boy growing up,
younger teenager, older boy, younger teenager. We live right down the street from a store, a little grocery store called Doster's. And mama would go to the store and she would do all the big shopping, you know, once a week or once every 10 days or so. She'd do all the big shopping. And when you eat like I do and my family does, I mean, we enjoy it. We enjoy eating. It would really probably do you good to enjoy it. I mean, you got to have it, so you might as well enjoy it. We enjoy it. We'd run out of stuff. We'd run out of milk or bread or whatever. And mom would say, Thomas, run down to Doster's and we need some more milk. And of course, this is before I could drive. I'd most of the time ride my bike. Every now and then I'd get to ride the lawnmower down there. You know, now that was fun. I was in Maryland. I was preaching last week for Brother Lou Rossi in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And I was telling this story and I said the word lawnmower. Nobody laughed. Nobody did anything. They didn't even know what I was talking about. Lawnmower. That, I think that's two words, but in Georgia, it's one word. Lawnmower, you know. Lawnmower. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say lawnmower? Good. I know it. Amen. It's good to be where God is, you know. Amen. And so it was a good day when I got to ride the lawnmower down there. And I'd go get the milk or the bread or whatever. But something happened every single time that was necessary for me to do what she told me to do. She never one time sent me out to go do something that she did not enable me to do. She never sent me to buy something that she did not give me what was necessary to buy. She'd always put something in my hand to do that with. Every time. She knew that I could not do what she told me to do unless she gave me the ability to do it. She knew that I would not be able to get the milk. I would not be able to buy the milk or buy the bread unless she gave me what was necessary to buy it. Now, I was the one that was going to go do the work, but she was the one that provided what was necessary to get the work done. And don't think for one minute, as good of a mom as she was, that she's any better parent than God is. And the Lord has asked us to do something. He's given us an order and He's given us something to do for Him. And that's to tell this world how to be saved. But don't think for one moment that He's not already got what we need to get the job done. In fact, He's just ready and willing to give it to us. If we would trust Him to accomplish what only He can accomplish through our lives, He will then turn around and pay what needs to be done. I like to say it like this. I wrote it down. If you will let God pay His missions bill through you, God will pay your bills for you. Good. I've seen God do it over and over again. As God pays His missions bill through our lives, does not God turn around and absolutely take care of us? You got something you need to pay for and take care of. You got a bill you need to catch up on. You got something like that. Could I, based on the Word of God, now I'm not just talking off the top of my head, based on God's Word and based on my own experience, let me give you some good financial advice, okay? You ready? People make a lot of money for doing what I'm about to do right now. You ready for this? Start giving a little bit more to missions. And watch God meet that need. I heard just the other day about a lady that their family already gives to missions every single week and they have for years. And the preacher at this missions conference got up and talked about how that in addition to his family's faith promise that years ago, he decided and his wife decided that they were going to give an extra amount in addition to their already given what they were already given as a family. That blows my mind. That blows a lot. And this woman decided she was going to do it. Now, this happened during the conference just 2 weeks ago. She decided she was going to do that same thing. So she prayed and she said, Dear Lord, I don't even know what to tell you I'm going to give. We already give this and you know we do. But this is just me and you, Lord. I want to commit to that. And Lord, if you will give it to me, you're going to have to just increase it some way. You're going to have to let it fall out of the sky. That's what she said. And what you give me is what I'll give. The very next day she got a phone call and she said, and the person on the other end of the line said, this is so-and-so from such and such insurance company. And there was a settlement years ago at a place you used to work. All of the employees got a benefit out of that, and we left your name off the list. It was a mistake. I mean, we're talking about years ago. And said, we want to go ahead and send you this and let you be able to have this. We wanted to make it right with you. She got off the phone. She went and told her husband. She's crying. She got up in front of the church that night just crying. She said, I can't believe this. We're talking about years ago. And right away, I mean, boom, God answered my prayer. She gave every single dime of it. Before the meeting was over, God had already given her more a second time. That's the way the Lord works. Don't think that that's just something that's unique to certain special people. In God's eyes, we're all special. And He wants to do that same work. The difference is, where is your faith? In fact, the difference is what is found in verse number 5. You see, the moment missions matters is the moment that this takes place. What happened with them is what ought to happen in each and every one of our lives as well. Look at verse number 5. There's several references to this in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. I would love to go through all of chapter 8 and chapter 9 with you. You should read it verse by verse. Ask the Lord to speak to you. You know, the preacher's not the only one that the Lord can speak to through His Word. You can read the Bible and get some help from it too. Don't you love it when God does that just for you? I mean, God definitely uses the man of God, no doubt about it. You can't replace that. We preach Christ, and it's the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen. But you get along with the Word of God and you read the Bible. You do this in these two chapters and see what God speaks to you about. The crazy things you think you're hearing from me, God may very well confirm them in your heart just by reading the Bible. But notice what verse 5 says. And this they did, not as we hoped, but what word comes next? First, what did they do? They did what first? Well, first means first, doesn't it? First means previous. First means before anything else. You know what that tells me? What did I do with that, Jackson? Here it is, right there. Before they did this, they did something else. Watch me now. Watch, watch. Preacher, when they're going to give Miss Faith Promise cards, okay? You may not be placing it wherever you're going to place it, but let's just say it's in here, okay? And you have this and you fill it out, okay? Before they ever did this, it's done. It's filled out. Before they ever did that, before they ever did this, they did something else first. What does the Bible say it was? Say it. Gave their own selves. And notice the next phrase after that. Who did they give themselves to? Watch this. He, according to verse 9, He gave Himself for me. Amen. And when I give myself for Him, everything else takes care of itself. You know what the Lord really wants today? He doesn't really want your money today. Good. He really doesn't. The Lord really wants you. Yes. You want to know when mission's going to matter to you? When you do what they did, give yourself. I'm preaching to people that you can think of a time 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago, you did what they did. But what they did only works if you do it over and over and over again. You know what they did? I'm not going to stand in this thing. I'll just do it like this. They put themselves in the offering plate. Brother Mitch, okay, pretend that I am standing in it. What else is in this offering plate? If I'm in it, what else is in it? My heart. What else? Right? Hey, what else is in this plate? If I'm in it, what else is in it? My mind. My eyes, my mouth, my hands, my talent. If I'm in the offering plate, all of me's in the offering plate. If I give myself first, I won't have any problem giving anything else the Lord ever puts on my heart. I won't have any problem with money. I won't have any problem with the preacher talking about money. I won't have any problem with church. I won't have any problem with attendance. I won't have any problem with singing. I won't have any problem with anything if I'm in the offering plate. You know what we've done? Sorry, let me rephrase that. You know what I've done so much in my life, this is what I've done. I have so easy. Dr. Blue said it like this. It's not hard to get Baptist people to give to missions. It's not hard. Because this is what we do. I've done it. I'm guilty. You may not be guilty. I'm guilty. This is what we've done for years. This is what I've done. I have done this. Walked out the church knowing I've done more than most. Convincing myself that I was better than most because of what I've done. And forgetting that I never really gave what the Lord wanted me to give. I never really gave who the Lord wanted me to give. For a long time, I've done this so I wouldn't have to do this. I put what I put in here so I could get by without really having to put me in here. I was pastoring a church doing that. I'll never forget when I was coming across and the Lord said, well, you know, you want to tell everybody to live for the Lord, surrender their lives to the Lord, do whatever God wants you to do. What if I told you to do something different? Would you be willing to put yourself in the offering plate? I don't tell you, I'm getting convicted about it right now, and I'm the one preaching it. But is it true or is it not true? Don't cop out, think you're super spiritual, because you're doing better than somebody else, and that's true. By the way, the Bible says you make a mess of things when you compare yourselves among yourselves. You'll always find somebody that's not as good of a Christian as you. But when you compare with Jesus, the only thing you can do is put yourself in here, because that's what He did. That's what He did. And once I do that, man, everything else makes all the difference. I got to close. Let me close with this illustration here. Time goes by fast, doesn't it? You know, a lot of people think that it just can't be done. I mean, the great and mighty things can't be done anymore. They really do believe that. That the days of seeing God do miraculous things, they're over. I mean, we just got to kind of ride it out till the trumpet sounds. And I know it's different times, but is the Lord limited to the day and hour we live in? Or is He still able to do whatever He has done? I believe that. I heard the story of the missionary that was in Honduras. And this just happened at the beginning of the year, last year. This is about a year and a half ago, not quite a year and a half ago, at the turn of the new year in 2020. So this was on New Year's Eve, 1999, into New Year's Day, 2020, just over a year ago. In Honduras, there was a man sitting at a table. There was a missionary family in that city, and they were just going out and inviting people to church and giving them gospel tracts. I love this right here. I love that. How to Get to Heaven from West Virginia. I love that. You're almost there. That's what they say, right? And it takes Jesus to get the rest of the way, but, you know, doesn't help you get a head start, does it? Amen. No, let's stick with the Bible now. Let's stick with the Bible, okay? Boy, some of you got real spiritual when I said that. You woke up then, didn't you? I mean, you felt the Holy Ghost on that when I said it, didn't you? Amen. Brother Jamie's waving his hands back there at me. Amen, brother. Amen. Actually, he wasn't waving at me. What was I saying? Okay. Sorry. Honduras. I got to get done. I'm coming in for a landing. Wheels are down, okay? Wheels are down. And he was passing out gospel tracts, him and his family. They went all throughout that little, it was like a open-air market type thing. And when he come back around, he noticed that this man was still sitting at the table reading the gospel tract that he had given him. So he walks up to the gentleman and he says, hey, I noticed you're reading this. And he said, yes. He said, do you understand, you know, what you're reading there? He said, well, I do have some questions. And he began to talk to him about it. He introduced himself as the pastor of the church right down the street. And I'm a missionary from the United States. I'd be glad to talk to you and help you. And he answered some questions. And you know what happened soon, don't you? He got saved. That man got saved right there in that market. Well, he then introduced himself and he said, I'm an army captain from Nicaragua. He said, I'm here for the new year. I'm visiting my family. And he said, oh, that's not good. That means that you're going to have to go back. You won't be able to be at my church Sunday, will you? And he said, no, I do have to go back. I have to report in 2 days. I will not be able to be at church. And he said, well, let me give you everything I can. And he gave him the Bible and he sent him on his way thinking they'd never see each other again. 3 weeks go by and that army captain is there doing his work and the general calls him in Nicaragua. Now, this happened just last year. The general calls him in and he calls his name. He said, Captain, he said, we've got a problem. He said, okay, sir, what is it? He said, it's you. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, something's wrong with you. He said, I keep having people ask me. He said, I'm wondering myself. He said, you're acting different. You don't talk the same. You don't act the same way. He said, what's going on with you? What's different about you? Everybody wants to know. You got everything turned upside down around here. He said, it was when you came back from seeing your family, you were different. Well, all the captain knew to tell him was exactly what I just told you happened to him. And he told the story. And he said, Captain, I want to meet that man. He said, well, how are you going to meet him? He said, I'll tell you how. You're going to get on my plane. You're going to fly to Honduras and you're going to get him. He said, I can't do that. He said, oh, yes, you can. I'll order you to do it. So the captain goes, he gets on the general's plane and he flies to Honduras to find this preacher, this missionary. Can you imagine that? He knocks on his door and there he is. And man, the preacher was so excited. He didn't think he'd ever see that guy again. And there he was. And the captain said, preacher, you've got to come with me. And he said, okay, where we're going? He said, Nicaragua. He said, I can't go to Nicaragua. He said, oh yes. And he explained the story. He said, listen, you got to understand my general. He said, it's going to be really rough on me and everybody else if we don't do this. We've got to do this. You follow his order. He said, okay. He said, I'll go with you. I can't believe he did it. But he went and got on the plane. They flew to Nicaragua. They walk into the general's office and they sit down. And the general begins to tell him everything I've already told you about his experience with the captain. And he said, I want what he has. Can I have it too? And the preacher began to tell him about Jesus. You know what happens next, don't you? Just a few minutes later, that general bowed his head, asked the Lord Jesus to save him. He said, this is wonderful. He said, preacher, I noticed you're reading out of a book. He said, what is that book? He said, this is the Bible. He said, oh, I'd love to have one of them. Well, the preacher just took everything out of his Bible. And if you're like me, that's probably a lot of stuff. And he handed it to that general, gave him his Bible. He said, do you think you could get one of these for my troops? He said, yeah, I think I probably could do that. He said, how many troops are we talking about? He said, 10,000. He said, well, I don't know. It may take some time to do that. He said, well, I'll tell you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get a Bible for all of my troops, and I want you to speak to them tomorrow. He said, well, I can't do it by tomorrow. He said, well, how long will it take? He said, I don't know. I've got to make some calls back to the United States and figure out what's going on. He said, I'll tell you something better than that. Go get on my plane. They will fly you anywhere you want to go. So he did. Flew back to the United States. When I first heard this story, I thought, is that even legal? Can you do that and get away with it? I don't know exactly how it all happened. Where he went, he got with some pastor friends, some churches got together. They got 10,000 Spanish Bibles and they flew him back to Nicaragua on the general's plane. They set it up. He walks into, you know, like one of these big airplane hangars that you see, the big rallies we have around here. And that's where they all were. Sure enough, 10,000 troops, men and women in there. That missionary gets up and gives the gospel to them. He brought preachers back with him, had other missionaries with him all around the front. That preacher said over 2,000 troops walked the aisle and individually, one at a time, one-on-one, they led all 2,000 of them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Gave them all the Bible. When it was all over, the preacher thought he was going to say goodbye and everything. He walks up to the general and he says, I'll be praying for you. God bless you. He said, oh, well, we're not finished yet. He said, I need you to come with me. He said, okay, where are we going? He said, Cuba. He said, well, why are we going to Cuba? He said, that's where my wife and children are. It's not safe for them here. My wife and children live in Cuba. They went, got on the plane, flew to Cuba, bodyguard, detail, you know, all around. And they walk into the to the house of where his wife and children are. And he said the Secret Service people all around, and he begins to give the gospel. They tell the whole story, and he gives them the gospel, and sure enough, that lady and those two children got on their knees right there in their house, and they asked Jesus to save them. The preacher said that when he knelt down and they began to pray, he heard something, and he looked out of the corner of his eye, and he looked, and he began to look around, and several of that bodyguard detail was on their knees, and they were asking the Lord Jesus to save them too. I don't know what happens next, but I know the story doesn't end there. There's no telling what happened next. And you fast forward and we get to glory and see all that taking place. Now, let me tell you why I took time to say that. Two things. One is, you know how that happened? You know why that took place? You know how things like that still happen in 2021? Just by somebody being willing to put themselves in here. To quit making an argument about whatever else is supposed to go in here. To quit making that the issue. To quit making that the object. And start thinking, what about me? And I'm preaching to people that have long been given money in here. But you've not put your hands in here. You've not put your heart in here. You've not put your voice in here. You've not put your body in here. And we could go on. I mean, I can make a list of about 1,000 things probably, and you could too. And not to mention, things like that can still happen. Because we still serve the same God that's always done the impossible. And He's not limited to just somebody else. He can do things like that right here at Ripa Baptist Temple. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Wow, you listen great. I thank you for your attention and the liberty to preach. What a blessing. In a moment, the pastor's coming and is going to lead you in things concerning your faith promise. In just a moment, the piano is going to begin to play. Wait just one moment to do that. And Brother Mitch, we're going to sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord, in just a moment. But wait for the starting cue, okay? And here's why. Here's why. Perhaps you and your family, maybe it's individually on your part. Maybe you want to bring your husband or wife with you. Maybe you want to bring your children. Come as a family, whatever the case may be. But perhaps the invitation for you is simply this. I need to come to this altar, put myself in the offering plate. I want to come to this altar and in a fresh way, in a new way. Maybe it's something you've done dozens of times. You know, Paul said, I die daily. Maybe there's something that has kind of been a little struggle between you and the Lord. A little struggle between you and the Holy Ghost about what you ought to be doing for Him, whether it be giving the missions, whether it be faithful in your tithing and offerings, whether it be faithful to the house of God, whether it be a bad habit or something like that. Some of you young people need to come and put yourself in this offering plate today and say, Lord, I want to get that right. Forgive me. How many folks would say, Preacher, the Lord has definitely spoken to my heart today. Something specific. He's spoken to me. If that's you, would you lift your hand up? Me too, my friend. Me too. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I say amen, the piano will play. Brother Mitchell sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. As soon as that happens, would you step out? As soon as I say amen, would you step out of your seat and come to this altar? A lot of things depend on your obedience to the Lord today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your help and strength in the Word of God, the speaking and moving of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for us. You gave yourself for me. Lord, help me to do the same. Bless and work in the lives and hearts of these precious people. Lord, do a work in this church today that will last far beyond today. And we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.